This is Victory House.
This morning, I want to talk to us about what I call word of mouth. Look at your neighbor, say word of mouth. I'll start reading from Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Father, let the ministry of your word be blessed. Let us go home with something. Not just a good word, but something to do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Bible says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess his name or clearly make his name known. Also, let's open to Psalms 68, I believe, and verse 11. Psalm 68 and verse 11. If this is your first time in Victory House, you're most welcomed. Later on in the service, a gentleman is going to welcome you more appropriately. But we're glad you're here. We've been praying for you. And we're glad you're here. You might have gotten a pack from the ushers, please. There's a form that you can fill out there. So if you start filling it out when you have some little time in and around the service, please fill it out as accurate as you can. And then we'll get to you soon. Psalm 68 and verse 11. The Lord gave the word. Oh, let me read this translation. The Lord announces the word, and the women who proclaim it are a mighty throng. The King James Version says, he didn't use the women, but, they are still there. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Word of mouth. I personally believe that the sole aim of man on earth is to know God and to make him known. That's our sole aim. That's why we are here. Why are you here? It is not just about a good job, a good life, a good family, and a good income and all of that kind of thing. Our preoccupation, our real work is to know God and make him known. That's our real work. And this morning, let me quickly share seven things about God. Seven things about God. Now, when you talk about God, saying seven things about him is like, how do you come up with that number? We just came up with it just for the purpose of our illustration. Seven things quickly about God. Number one, God is real. Look at your neighbor, say, God is real. Some of us have had this church background for a long time, and sometimes you just assume that everybody that has been around church believes that there is a God. There was some time in my life, I grew up around church, my parents were going to church, and of course that didn't make me born again. But I became born again, I gave my life to Christ, but somewhere along the line, I started questioning all these things. I started asking the question, is there God? Is God real? And so many people have thought that many times the people that run to God are weak people. People that are needy. People that have issues. People that they are just looking for something to console them and comfort them. And when they are on their feet. In fact, sometimes you hear people say things like this, that we don't need help. You don't see them in church after a while. Then you say, excuse me, sir, you've not been around. And they say something like, we are okay now. We are fine now. Almost as if the church is a solution to a problem. Well, it's a solution to a problem. Or almost as if God is only as good as I need help. But I want to tell you that God is beyond that. God is real. God is not an idea. God is not a good feeling. God is not an imaginary thing out there. God is not even the making of the West. I know that sometimes, especially in this era of Black Panther and all of that kind of thing, there's a tendency to think, and I've had this kind of argument before, that Jesus is a Western philosophy. The West came up with the idea of Jesus. They came up with the idea of God to steal stuff from black guys. So when they came to Africa, they claimed that some of these guys came and they told guys in Africa and say, leave what you are doing. And they gave them Bible and took their natural resources. You know, they just gave them Bible and said, read the Bible. And then they went behind, took the oil, took the kola nuts, and took all the natural resources. Now, there's some part of that kind of exploitation that went on, but it was not because of the giving of the Bible. The Bible is not a Western idea. God is not a Western idea. God is real. God is real. Look at your neighbor, tell him God is real. Because God can feel anything that is real. By definition, I checked out the meaning of real. They said real is something that is defined as actual, as factual, that you can check, you can go through history. You can look at some things as facts, and then you can find out that, well, this thing is actually factual. So real is defined as actual, factual, not imagined or supposed. So God is real in the sense that it's not an imagination. God is real in the sense that he is factual. There are, of course, we go beyond facts and deal with God with faith, but there are facts that you can look on the ground that makes God real. One of such facts is that God can feel. There are gods that people cry out to. They have a mood, an idol, and they put in front of them and they bow to it. That idol can feel. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says we do not have a high priest who is not able to be touched with our infirmities. He can feel us. When there's a pain for you, he can feel it. He can feel your hurt. When Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus was powerful enough to heal Lazarus. Jesus actually was going to heal him. If you read that story before, if you have read that story before, in John chapter 11, the Bible said that Jesus told his disciples that Lazarus, our friend, is dead. Oh, well, he said he's asleep. Let's go wake him up. And some people thought that sleep meant that he was really sleeping. Like, then he now told them he's dead. Let's go wake him up. So he was going to wake him up. But when he got there, he saw the pain. He saw the heartache. He saw the problems. And the Bible said Jesus wept. He feels us. He can be touched with our feelings. He's not this very untouchable and very far distant God. No, he's a God that can feel. So if you are going through pains here, I've come to tell you, when human beings can understand, God can. God can. He can feel you. He can be touched with our infirmity. God has other mannerisms, among which God laughs. I know some people don't, they think God is very serious, and he's always walking about looking for people that have done something wrong and say, you didn't do that right. You didn't do that right. I spank you. No, well, God has a humorous side to him. Look at the scripture, Psalm 2 verse 4. Psalm 2 verse 4. The Bible said, he that sits in the heaven, which is God, we laugh at the derision of these people. So God has a sense of humor. And I bet God laughs a lot about some of us. Because sometimes we do like this. God, I hope you can see this. You know, and you're like, I have a 360 degree view. I see everything. And then he will just laugh and say, oh, humans, humans. Even if I couldn't even see, my age and the length of time that I've been around should make that I would have known all human permutations. Every combination, every kind of move that you can make. Other people have made it before. So I've been there, done that. I've seen everything. I know everything. So I have come to tell somebody this morning that God is real. And if you have not experienced God as being real, in Job chapter 42 and verse 5, Job said, I have heard rumors about you. There are many people that come to church, the best that they have heard of God is rumors. Rumor means that they have not been able to substantiate it. They have not been able to experience it. I'm believing God that in this service, you will experience that real God. In the name of Jesus. So God is real. That's the first thing I want you to remember about God this morning. Another thing I want you to remember about God this morning is God is relatable. You can relate to him. It's not just real in the sense that he can feel, he has some human compassion, he can feel us, he's not distant from us. You can relate to him. It's not this high and lofty that is disconnected. You know, sometimes you wonder if our politicians are disconnected from us. You wonder if they understand what they go through, some of these things. Because sometimes they live in a bubble. God is not like that. God can relate very, very accurately with you. It's very, very relatable. God is not distant. It's not the absentee landlord. I saw one imagery on some website the other day, and they showed a big hand like this that had strings, and planets were under those strings. They made it like that's the hand of God. So God is like this to the planets. He's far away. It's not true. That's a funny image. God is here. He's not even just there. I mean, that's the whole idea of Jesus. Jesus was God, was the Word with God that became flesh to dwell among us. And when Jesus left, though he left physically, he still left the Holy Spirit here because he wants to be the God among us. So it's not God up there in heaven, sitting down in heaven and just wondering, I hope these guys get it right. I hope they fix things right. No, he's here with us. He's here in this room. You can relate to him. If you need something from me, he's here. He can deliver it to you. And I believe that if there are people that need healing here, you receive it right now in the name of Jesus. So the Bible makes us to understand that God is not distant. It's not that absentee landlord. God is near and approachable. God is just a prayer away. God is just a prayer away. It's just a call away. The prayer doesn't even have to start with in Jesus' name and end with in Jesus' name. It can just be help. It can just be, I don't know if you have been in those places before where the only thing you can just shout is help. It's help. And he shows up for you. He's going to show up for you this month in the name of Jesus. Let's look at the scriptures. Psalm 145 and verse 18. Psalm 145. And verse 18. The Bible says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. You don't have to wait for Sunday morning. You don't have to wait for Wednesday. When you call him and where you call him is there. Sometimes some people, they'll say, I'm going to pray about that. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem you saying you want to pray about something later. I don't have a problem. But what about praying about it then? Sometimes some people say, Pastor, pray for us. If you turn your back, so many of the times I just bow down and I say prayer because most of the time if I wait to have this organized prayer, I may not remember because I can call him immediately because the Bible says God is near to all, not just the pastor, not just the people that have just sang before they call upon him, not just the people that have wept and, you know, have some organized music playing. If you call him, it doesn't have to even rhyme. Because sometimes when you hear some people pray, the prayer seems very, very intelligent prayer. It's very put together. It doesn't have to make sense. It can even be grammatically wrong, but it will be spiritually correct. Can I get an amen to that? God is relatable. Another thing, God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. Some of us have fasted 50 days and 50 nights. Or maybe it was just days. Because it's possible to fast days and nights, just eat until the next day. Whatever category you find yourself, I want to tell you God is a rewarder. God doesn't use people and just leave them there. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, verse 6, excuse me. Hebrews chapter 11 by verse 6. Let's read it. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that God exists, that God is real. You must believe. You cannot deal with God that you don't believe that is real. And that's why sometimes people come to church, it looks like it's not working because really they attend, they are physically there, but they don't believe that he is. They just think that, well, maybe. No, you have to believe that he is. And if you believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, God rewards. Look at your neighbor. Say, God is a rewarder. God compensates and rewards. God does not use people and dump them. I like this scripture. Look at it. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 19. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 19. God does. Is not like your boss. It's not like all the other people that you have had association with who take advantage of you. God wants to do you good. His interest is more of your interest. He has more of your interest at heart than any other interest. He wants to be kind to you. He wants to be good to you. And you need to settle that in your mind. Whether you had a background where you understood the reward system or not, maybe people that you had, they cheated you and all of that. I have come to introduce something different to you this morning, that God is not like them. God is a rewarder. The Bible says, I have not spoken in secret in dark places of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare the things that are right. What is God saying here? God is saying that I have not told the people of God to just follow me for nothing. I will reward them. Your labor of love, I will reward it. Your showing up, I will reward it. God is the only one that can really reward you. Some of you have done all kinds of things for God. This morning, this service that you are seeing, that may be just 1 hour, 1.5 hours. Some people woke up 5 hours long before this service. And you may not know about it, but God knows about it. And I have come to tell that kind of person this morning that God is a rewarder. He will reward you. He will show up for you. He is the one that can pay you in the ways that human beings can pay you. And that's when you are involved with anything that has to do with God, let your focus be on him, not human beings who may or may not be able to reward you. Because God is a rewarder. How many things have I said this morning? God is. Now, because God rewards, sometimes the devil likes to play games. He will show up and do all kind of thing. So not only that can God reward, God can restore. So God is a restorer. I was so glad when Pastor was leading prayer and he said, restoration. And I speak restoration this morning. Everything that needs repair, everything that needs replenishment, everything that needs to be done again, I speak restoration in the name of Jesus. So God is a restorer. Oh, there are some times that, in fact, the ministry of the devil is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John chapter 10 and verse 10 is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus has come to restore. Jesus restores. There are times that God gives you a reward. He gives you a child as a reward. And then something is happening there. He gives you a marriage as a reward. He gives you a job as a reward. And something is happening there. God is able to restore. God is not a one chance. It's not like luck. It's not like fluke. That just happens and you cannot repeat it again. No, he's able to restore. And I speak restoration here this morning in the name of Jesus. In Joel chapter 2, the man of God read the other time, but I'll read another verse. Joel chapter 2 and verse 25 and 26. Joel chapter 2, 25 and 26. Joel chapter 2, 25 and 26. The Bible says, and I will restore. Who is this I? God. He says, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. I declare to you, the years and time that you have loved, God will restore it for you. Amen. Some people will tell you things like this, that once time has gone, it can't be gotten back. It's not completely true. With God, God can, he can replenish. Ask Abraham. Abraham had lost the time. In fact, when Abraham was telling his wife, Sarah, that I had God said you are going to give us, he's going to give us baby. You know what they did? Sarah laughed. But it was not only Sarah that laughed. Even Abraham also laughed. And they laughed because time had passed them. It was past their time. But they didn't know this kind of God that we're talking about. They didn't know that God, with him, time is not an issue. Anytime he arrives, anytime he shows up, the time will calibrate to fit his own schedule. He can change schedule and bring what was in the past, bring it to the present, and enforce it on the future. And I speak to you this morning again. God will restore you. So he said, I will restore the years that the locust had eaten and the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent. And you will eat in plenty. Can I pray that for somebody this morning? You will eat in plenty. And be satisfied. Some people have, they know about eating, but they don't know about satisfaction. You're about to experience satisfaction. And praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. Amen. Somebody needed to say a bigger amen to that. Amen. So God is a restorer. Another thing that you need to know about God, which, I mean, I believe some of us might know before, but let's reiterate that, is that God is righteous. God is just. God deals in justice. Oh, yeah. In this part of eternity, there's a lot of injustice. But can I tell you there's a just God? Can I tell you there's a righteous God? He's the only one that can really uphold your lot. Because here on this our side, even our law system can be unjust. Even the government can be unjust. Even the system can be unfair. But there is a righteous judge. There is a righteous God. And he's your God. And so you need to understand that God can maintain your lot. God can maintain your right because he's a righteous God. I need to move fast. Another thing, God is reliable. God is reliable. Now, some of us have met good people. You have seen some things that work. But some of those things don't work all the time. I was at a birthday yesterday, and the guy was throwing jabs at Africa, you know, and said that, especially Nigeria, that the power supply goes off and stuff like that, which is pretty, for the most part, true. And he was saying that to mean that here it doesn't happen like that. But that's not, for the most part, true. Because even here, even this weekend, I think in the Northeast, some people they were without lights and electricity and all of that kind of thing. Because on this side of eternity, except God, nothing is constant. So I want you to understand this morning that God is reliable. So if you are looking for reliability, if you are looking for dependability, if you are looking for consistency, if you want something that will not change, then you need to partner with God because God is reliable. Will you look up and say, God, you are reliable? To be reliable means that he is constant and does not change. I like James chapter 1 and verse 17. I picked up this translation. I don't even remember which translation it was, but I'll just read it to you. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Is he NIV? I don't know. Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God doesn't cast shadows. Complete. You know, with God, the reason why there is shadow is because there is variation in light. But with God, there is no shadow because it does not change. It's perfect light. It's perfect consistent. God is reliable. He's dependable. If you put your everything in him, he's safe. I'm sure you've heard the story before, or you've heard the adage, don't put all your eggs in one basket. If the basket is in the hand of God, you can put all your eggs there. They are safe with him. Can I get an amen to that? God is reliable. And the seventh thing I want to say this morning about God, God wants to be known. God wants to be known. God is not someone that wants to be hidden. He wants to be known. God wants to be known. In fact, the Bible tells us that the Word was with God, but the Word had to become flesh because he wants to be known. In fact, in verse 14 of John chapter 1, the Message translation says, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. The Word did not just stay with God. The Word did not just become flesh and hide in some corner of town, but the Word became flesh and went into the necessary places. God wants to be known. God wants to be known. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says, God wants to fill his knowledge. He wants to fill the whole earth with his knowledge. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. The expression water covers the sea, I mean, you know, in the sea, there is nowhere that water is not covering. Everywhere is covered. So God wants his knowledge, our people knowing about him everywhere. That's the intention of God. God wants to be known. Now, how does this last thing about God that I just mentioned, how does it happen? The way it happens is by word of mouth. Primarily by word of mouth. The first word of mouth that he wants us to apply and which we are going to do some of it this morning is what we read in that Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. God wants us, when he has done something for us, not to be mute. Many people are loud and very talkative and very expressive when they need something. When people need things from God, you can tell. When you say, pray, even need to coax them. You don't need to walk them up. But when they don't need anything from you, you can also tell. Because when they need something from, oh God, do it. That same intensity and that same passion, God wants you to use it when he has done something to you. He wants to see it. He wants you to tell him. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 says, we should offer the fruit of our lips to him, that is, praising his name. So God wants to be known, and that's why sometimes he does, many other times he does this good thing, and he wants you to say it back to him, that you have done something good, that you have done a very good thing. And he wants you to say it again and again and again, because that scripture says, let us continually, let there be no break, let there be no stop, let there be no pause, let us do it consistently. We can keep talking about what he did 10 years ago. We can keep talking about what he did 20 years ago. It's in order. Because every time, so people want the new thing. You know, usually when people come and say, you want to give testimony, praise the Lord, what God did yesterday. I'm excited about that. But what about what he did 3 years ago? What about that deliverance he gave you 3 years ago? Because human beings, we tend to forget what God has done that seemed to be a long time ago. And sometimes the long time ago is just 2 days ago. And if he has not done something today, some people will say, Pastor, I'm concerned. I say, what's going on? They say, I'm thinking about my life. I say, well, what happened? All my mates, they have gone. I say, where did they go to? Say, they've gone. All my mates, they have gone. And then you find out, what's been going on? I went on Instagram and I saw what my mates are doing. I saw the cars. I saw their house. And you don't know, maybe that house is house of trouble or house of cards. You don't know what that car is all about. And I mean, even if God did it for them, does that not mean God is in the neighborhood? If he has done it for your friend, maybe it's your turn now. Maybe the focus is on you now. Maybe it is now your turn. So instead of getting worked up and getting worried, what about what God did 10 years ago? What about what he did 5 years ago? Where you are now, wasn't he a prayer point 1 year ago? Yeah. Some of us are, let's move on to this. Now God is a job I need. It's a job. But what about the healing that he gave you? Don't you know there are some people that have job and can't do the job? Don't you know people have food and can't eat the food? Don't you know there are people that have clothes that can't wear the clothes? They would rather give the clothes away to feel fine and to be normal and to be in their right senses. So when we come to a service like this, that we have thanked our Thanksgiving service, it's not a service to be mute. It's not a service to be like, let me pray under my breath and thank God under my breath. No, you must use your mouth. Look at your neighbor, say your mouth has to be busy this morning. You have to use your mouth this morning because God has been good. I know it. He has been good to you. So God wants us to tell about him. He wants us to brag. Whenever God does something, he wants you to brag about him. Because the only way, the major way God can be known is by you telling people about it. Is by you. When Jesus came, I was listening to the Gospels this morning, and they were telling Jesus that no man does this kind of things that you are doing and he's hiding himself. He shows himself to the whole world. Why are you not broadcasting yourself? And I believe Jesus was imagining that you guys don't understand. What I want to do is that I will do something for one person, that person will tell 50 people. That's my policy. That's the way I'm going to go about it. Remember in John chapter 4, when Jesus got to Samaria, Jesus did not enter. Jesus did not enter. His disciples entered to look for food. Jesus was at the gate, and then there was a woman that came to the well. And because of what Jesus did with that woman, the Bible says, the whole city came to him. That's the MO of Jesus. Because Jesus believes that if I do you good, tell others about it. Tell others about it. Many of us are very good in telling people about our problems. But many of us are not good in telling people about how God has solved our problems. I wish we can do more of that. Hey, girlfriend, can I tell you this? God did this. He did it 10 years ago. I'm sure some of the friends will be like, that's old, just give me a new one. But once, when you continually do that, they will know that this person, she's a master of whole gist. And she'll say God has done good things. She's always looking for what good thing God has done. If you do that, if you always try to look for what good thing God has done, you will not want good things that God is doing. Because the foundation of God to do new things is to thank him for what he has done before. I mean, a father, a boss will be motivated if it is appreciated for what he did a day before. He will want to do more. And I see God doing more for you in Jesus' name. So God wants us to use word of mouth to tell about his goodness to him. That's the first direction, to him. And then the second direction is to tell about his goodness to others. He doesn't just want us to come and say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. He wants us to say thank you to him and tell other people and say, come and see what God has done. Come and see what God has done. This world should have been won long ago if all of us are doing our job. The first Christians, they didn't have Facebook advertisement budget. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't promote anything on Instagram. We do all of that now. But it's like we're not getting the same result because people have neglected the first order of things, which is the word of mouth part of it. This gospel works basically by referrals. The business of God increases by referrals. You, me, referring others to the same God. That's how they hear about him. That's how they hear about him. How do we solve the murder case in Chicago? Word of mouth. We need to use our word to talk to the people who will be the next gun shooter, who will be the next guy who is going to mess up somebody on the street. Because if we keep quiet, it's going to get close to us. Sometimes when you hear the news, it looks far-fetched, right? don't think like that. I want you to be concerned. Anytime you hear they shot somebody, be concerned that you need to increase your word of mouth. Because if we do that and tell people about this God, you leave what he does about what you have told them to them, but you tell them about it. Don't say, well, they won't listen. No, don't do that. You'll be surprised. I've seen people go on this street before, just tell them about, we're going to have this event, and you'll be surprised. This guy will come a week after they got that flyer. I have seen people pick up handbills on the street and came to church service. So what am I saying this morning? Tell God about his goodness, but tell others about his goodness. And I think this week we have a unique opportunity to tell that. If the ushers can help me, we have these flyers that they're going to share out. We have a program on Friday. It's going to be a big deal. God's going to do some good things. And we should be the one to tell others about it and tell people, come and see. During the announcement, they will walk us through some other ways that we can help people. But the handbills that are going to be given to you or the flyers that will be given to you, don't keep it. Give it to somebody. It's you are telling somebody that, come and see what God has done. You can even say, God did this for me. And if you come, it can help you too. Because this kingdom increases by word of mouth. I'll close with this. Psalm 68 and verse 11. If God is real, if God is relatable, if God is a rewarder, if God is a restorer, if God is righteous, if God is reliable, I dare say God wants everybody to know this. God wants people to know who he is. And some of us know some of these things. My question to you this morning is, what are you doing with that? You need to tell it to God, and you need to tell it to others. Look at this scripture. The Bible says, the Lord announces the word, or the Lord gave the word, and the women and the men that proclaimed it were many. Many of us need to let people know what God is doing. Doing here and doing in the world. Doing what he has done through his word. Many of us need to do that. You can't be quiet. Because look, there are many people that will be destroyed if you stay silent. So it's not a season to be mute. It's not a season to be quiet. So this morning, there are the two parts of this admonition. We're going to practice it. We're going to tell God about how good he has been. We're going to dance. We're going to give an offering. We're going to sing. We're going to celebrate before this God. We're going to be joyful. And when we leave here, we have a flyer in our hand. And without even the flyer, tell somebody that God is good. Tell them that God is real. There's somebody that needs to hear that God is real. There are many people that live around here, they've not experienced a real father before. You can introduce them to this real father, the God of the heavens, in the name of Jesus. I want you to bow down your heads this morning. I want you to bow down your heads this morning. And many of us need to commit to practice this word of mouth, telling God about how good he is and telling other people about how good God is to us and to this our world. I want you to tell God. And there's somebody that may be here that said, well, this is the first time I've really heard somebody really say God is real. I want to experience this real God. I've not really committed myself to this real God. So I want to experience this real God. If you are like that this morning, I will pray with you. If I can see your hands up, I will pray with you. And I want to experience real God. I want to deal with a God that is a rewarder, that doesn't just use. I want to deal with the God that is approachable. If you are like that here this morning, all over this room, I will pray with you. If I see your hands up, I will pray with you. And the rest of us, I want you to talk to God. I receive grace to practice using my mouth to thank you, using my mouth to tell other people about you in the name of Jesus. I receive that grace. I'm not going to be mute. I'm not going to be quiet. I receive grace to speak of your goodness in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. And so, Father, we receive strength here this morning. We're not just hearers alone, but doers also. This word will grow in us. This word will become flesh, and it will move into our world. In the name of Jesus. If you believe it, will you say a bigger amen?